This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio. The World of Bluegrass Festival is rambling through North Carolina this week. The rising stars and veterans of bluegrass from around the world are here in Raleigh. It's all part of the International Bluegrass Music Association's annual convention, which moved to Raleigh last year. And here to give us an inside look at the festival is Craig Havockhurst. He hosts his own radio show called Music City Roots from Nashville, and he's contributed to NPR and the Wall Street Journal and is a board member of IBMA. And now live on the State of Things. Craig, welcome. Good to have you here.
It is great to be here.
So this festival is going on. There's a lot of music. What else happens as part of this convention?
There's several components, and it's been designed that way for a number of years. There's the business conference with your seminars and gatherings and workshops. There is the Bluegrass Rambles, showcasing part of the convention where a juried group of 20-odd bands pass a jury and wind up playing for both the general audience, but also for promoters and talent buyers. And it's the real scouting part. And then there's also entities and associations and businesses create private parties and showcases up in the hotel suites and in some of the clubs late at night. There's an expo hall trade show. There is a new film festival this year. There's, of course, the Bluegrass Awards that happen tonight and the Wide Open Festival with its components free in the streets and the ticketed event in the Red Hat Theater.
How common or how unique is a convention like this that is big enough to attract big talent from all around the world, and yet, as I hear from time to time, small enough so that young artists and veteran artists can actually mix, mingle, and play a few tunes together?
This is a very unique event, and I went to my first one when it was in Louisville in the very interesting Galt House Hotel, and I was just a journalist and I was a fan, and I was overwhelmed by the swirl of activity and the dynamism of a place where there were young kids learning how to play on a carpet somewhere next to a couch with a dad or with a recognizable musician. Then there was, at the time, the living legend Jimmy Martin holding court and ribbing people, and you would see major figures of the music just mingling about, and then you knew there was a business component, and you knew there was this sort of who's new, who's hot component. But I'd never seen anything like it. Other festivals in roots music might be New Orleans Jazz and Heritage, but there's not a convention. It's put on for fans, and this blurs the lines.
It has evolved, and it has moved. You talked about its roots in Kentucky, then Nashville, Raleigh last year. Why the moves?
First in Owensboro, Kentucky, where they established a bluegrass music museum, which is still there, kind of outgrew that smaller town, and then to Louisville and outgrew the hotel there. The event really did grow in the 80s. And then went to Nashville. I think it was 7 years in Nashville, and the atmosphere just was never quite right. It wasn't the right facility. It really was a case of architecture kind of defeating spirit. None of us are very proud of our old convention center. We have a very spanky, happening new convention center that, is almost too big for this event. And the move to Raleigh really was initiated by this city, and we were approached and courted, and the sales job was amazing, and then the substance of last year's delivery on the street fair, the support, the community lived up to that hype. It was quite remarkable.
I guess that had to be the thing, because the marketing got you here year one, but then for it to sign a long-term contract, everybody had to be pretty happy with the way things went.
Right. We signed a 3-year contract initially and then extended it because things had gone so well.
So well that North Carolina's own Chatham County Line has written a song just bragging on us. Let's listen.
Bluegrass is born in Kentucky. Monroe found the mandolin. By the way he played those strings, we might never hear again. But there's no chance we're gonna lose.
Chatham County Line, living in Raleigh now. Safe to say North Carolina is a bluegrass state, huh?
I saw him do that song last night, late at night, and it just elicited whoops and hollers and spirit and pride. And I'm from Durham, and I have never been more proud to be a North Carolinian. I live in Nashville since 96, but I feel like I've come home. And I said to somebody, if I go past a tattoo parlor right now, I may come home in trouble because I want a map of North Carolina someplace on my body.
Well, the map of North Carolina very much is the map of bluegrass. I mean, it's not a bad place to be if bluegrass is what you're trying to talk about.
It's the home of Earl Scruggs, the birthplace of Earl Scruggs. So it's got that part of the story of the core first band of bluegrass, mingling with, as the song says, Bill Monroe's Kentucky roots. The music was arguably invented in Tennessee at the Ryman Auditorium and the Grand Ole Opry, which gave Bill Monroe's band, then very progressive band, a place to shine. And the other figure that comes from North Carolina, this sort of, you know, unmissable and essential, especially in my journey, is Doc Watson, who played bluegrass, but played so much more. A quintessential American roots musician, folk musician, who in the '60s just showed the world what a stunning, what a deep well it was.
It's the remarkable thing about bluegrass to me is that it is a commercial success. It is not shy about wanting and needing mm-hmm. commercial success, and yet it maintains, at least in its sound, so much of the root of country music. That's, you know, that's a big part of it. It hasn't been lost.
Yeah, and I've begun to argue to folks, because I care a lot about all genres of good music, and I see what's gone on in classical and jazz and looked at the really some of the crises that they're going through. And I think that there's lessons to be learned from bluegrass as a musical ecosystem that's got both culture and non-commercial elements and cultural public elements, but a commercial core. It doesn't rely on public funding or grants. There's not much philanthropy that points its way to bluegrass. There are a few prominent exceptions, but it has built a marketplace, and I think the convention over these last two decades have been really crucial in keeping everybody tied together and having the tide lift and lift all boats.
Let's talk about the awards, IBMA Awards tonight. The band Town Mountain is a fairly new band in the world of bluegrass. They're from Western North Carolina, and they've been nominated for Emerging Artist of the Year. Let's hear a little sample of their music right now. Western North Carolina's own Town Mountain up for an award tonight, the Emerging Artist of the Year. Craig Haverhurst is with me. Tell me more about that band.
I sort of see the three big bands that make the North Carolina bluegrass sound right now: Chatham County Line, the Steep Canyon Rangers, and Town Mountain. And Town Mountain is the most rural sounding of the bunch. Robert Greer's voice just is unapologetically Southern, and it's got a mountain flavor, and they are the hardest driving and most in the school of the original bluegrass template.
And other awards, let's talk a little bit about the awards, because one of the things you have to notice with these awards is often award winners are up for their third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time in a row. And so what's the awards process, and how much does diversity play mm-hmm. A role in choosing the winners?
Very interesting question. There's about 1,800, 1,900 members, and there's been as many as 2,000, 2,200. And the members vote. They vote on the initial ballot that puts the choices on the thing and then winnows down to the nominees and on the ultimate winners. And it is definitely an area where among the core people, activists and business people and people who vote, there does tend to be a certain momentum for certain artists who wind up coming back winning year after year. And I've sometimes said that when a new artist breaks through and wins the female vocalist or male vocalist or something like that, it's almost like a goal scored in soccer. Like, we've been waiting for this to happen. Yeah. And it's got an upside and a downside. You see some people like Brian Sutton or Michael Cleveland, for whom those 5, 6, 7 awards become their core calling card and a very effective one in building careers. And for, say, Michael Cleveland, a fiddle player, band leader, that would be a tough sell in the wider world. But if he's, a 9-time fiddle player of the year, it is certainly a sales point and something that generates excitement. People want to go see that. So the Emerging Artist of the Year becomes very important to sort of say, who's the new the new breath of fresh air. And the IBMA has also initiated something called the Momentum Awards, which are given at the luncheon during the convention, which look to that middle tier of folks who've never been nominated for an IBMA award and who are new and emerging talent who will be on that stage in maybe 5 or 10 years. You pay your dues a long time in bluegrass.
Because you know there's 1,352 guitar pickers in Nashville, and not every one of them is going to win the award. So we talked about the fact that here's an industry that bridges commercial, and commercial success remains faithful to its roots. Part of the root, though, is racial diversity and the contribution of African Americans to this music. Still not quite up to speed when it comes to diversity among the players, but is that changing?
It's changing. I see over in the related, closely related world of Americana music. We just had the convention in Nashville 2 weeks ago, and over the years that convention, because it's got a wider artistic kind of mandate and a sound, it has been able to embrace soul, rhythm and blues, and gospel. So very highly featured this year were the Fairfield Four and the McCrary Sisters. We see a lot of soul and R&B coming back, and that's got a journey to go in bluegrass music. String band is where it's been happening most actively.
All right, Craig, what a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
It's always a joy to be here.
Craig Haverhurst, her host, bluegrass radio show called Music City Roots in Nashville, board member of the IBMA. And there is more bluegrass ahead on the State of Things, and we're going to preview a film about American bluegrass and how popular it is in the Czech Republic. You'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.